Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we're going to discuss J.C. Handy's book on Vietnam, the Vietnam War. Then we'll discuss Navy football with Navy's football coach Newberry, and Diane Raver will review the movie of the month. So it's a pleasure to introduce Vietnam vet J.C. Handy. J.C. served in Vietnam. We'll talk about what he did, but he ended up writing a book about Vietnam, not on something he did, but something that he knew a lot about, working in a mortuary. This was a mess, and he tells us about it. So welcome, J.C. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
J.C., start by telling us about your time in uniform. When and why did you join, and what did you do?
Well, I was drafted in 1966. I spent 66 in the States. And then I was shipped to Vietnam. I went over with the 9th Division, and I was there all of 67. And I was assigned to a transportation unit, and I hauled everything from loaves of bread to combat infantrymen. And my job was fairly routine. The only time it stopped being routine is when the enemy decided he wanted to stop me from doing it. Then it got a little exciting.
That makes a lot of sense. So you served in Vietnam, but a part of your experience there was talking with, learning about, being around guys who served in GR, Graves Registration, right?
Yes, they were assigned to my unit, and that's where I had contact with them. I was in country about 2 or 3 days, and I was sitting with a friend of mine, had been there about a month or so, and these two individuals came into the mess hall one evening, and when they came in, everybody's heads went up, and they're all watching these two guys, and they got their chow, and they found a table way in the corner, and they sat down, and I said to my buddy, I said, what the hell is that all about? He says, they're GR. I said, well, what's GR? He said, well, it's Graves Registration. Nobody wants them to sit at the table with them because they have the smell of death on them, and they're superstitious that if you get too close to them, it might rub off on you. So that was my first contact with GR personnel. And then when I I was transferred after 6 months to the 4th Division on the Cambodian border. We had what they call a collection point. That was your first stop coming out of the field after you were KIA. And the collection point was probably 300 feet from my quarters. I could see it. They had a 3/4-ton truck parked next to it. We had one mortuary table in there, and I found out when I started researching the book that the refrigerators that we had over there, a couple of them were designated for remains. So when you went down in the field, you were shipped to the collection point. There they collected your personal effects and so forth. They put them in what they called a personal effects pouch. You were bagged. They pulled your personnel medical records. And then you were escorted from there to the mortuary. And once you hit the mortuary, the first thing they did, they stripped your clothes off. They got out your medical files. They checked you for any identifying marks, tattoos, so forth. They fingerprinted you. They went over and checked your dental against your dental records. And if they, at that point, had they made positive identification, you were sent back to the section of the mortuary that did the actual embalming. You were embalmed. And then you went to the shipping area, the mortuary, and then you were wrapped in a sheet, stuck in a plastic bag. You went into what they call a transfer case. That's, if you've ever saw one, that's those aluminum boxes that they shipped you home in. Your records and so forth were attached to it. And then they would put you on a pallet. They would put 9 transfer cases to a pallet. And then they would take you and put the pallets in a hangar. And then after dark, then they would start loading the aircraft. For obvious reasons, they didn't want anybody to see this exercise going on. So it was done very covertly. You didn't see anything. And then the planes flew out. And if you lived west of the Mississippi, you went to Traverse. If you were east, you went to Dover. There, The only thing they did stateside is they put you in a civilian coffin, and then they would, if there was enough of you, they put you in your uniform. If there wasn't, they laid the uniform on top of the remains, and then they were shipped home. And back in those days, you went to the closest airport, and then the families had to make preparations and arrangements to get you from there to the local funeral home, and then whatever final disposition you had from there. So the people in country, like yourself, did two tours, didn't know anything about GR. Most of the guys in the field, they saw their buddies choppered out, never saw them again, don't know what happened to them. And the families, they just went to the funeral home, and there was their loved one. They had no idea how they got there. But it was a fairly lengthy process, depending on how easy or difficult the identification was. It took from 6 to 8 days to get you back home. If they couldn't make a positive identification, they sent you out of the country and you were turned over to the forensic specialist to try and identify you. And because nobody went home until they were positive of who you were, obviously sending home the wrong person was the worst kind of mistake you could make in graves registration.
What you just said makes a great deal of sense. Yeah. It's incredibly logical, incredibly appropriate. And you're right. Two tours, I had no clue. I knew there was some kind of handling, but I didn't have a clue what it was. As a matter of fact, not until I read your book. But the guys that did that, it must have been really tough on them.
Tough is an understatement. I probably interviewed or spoke with most of the people that contacted me. I couldn't interview them. They were so traumatized by the experience that I would get them on the phone 2 to 3 minutes. They'd start disintegrating. And then I'd say, you're not equipped to go where I need you to go. And we would end the conversation. And they're all suffering to some degree or another from their experiences. The worst one I had that called me and I told him what I wanted. He said, no, I can't do that. He says, I've been suffering with the horror of GR for 40 some years. He says, the happiest day of my life will be the day I die. I won't have to deal with it anymore. And by and large, that's how it is to some degree or another with most of them. And in the course of doing the book, I was in total awe of these guys. My respect for them was incredible. I spent 5 years researching and writing the book. I can't believe they actually did what they did. In the mortuary, there was only two kinds of days, bad days and worse days. And the mortuary in Da Nang was designed to handle about 350 KIAs a month. And during Tet in 68, February, March, they put 2,500 KIAs through that mortuary. They saw more death in a day than an average funeral home would see in a year or two.
Well, I was part of that fight in Tet 68, and I believe that. JC, we're about out of time. The name of your book is Coffins of Tin. The subtitle is The Unseen Angels of Vietnam. How can listeners buy a copy and honor these wonderful people who are still probably suffering from it? How can they buy a copy?
The book can only be gotten through me. It's not on Amazon or any other outlets. They would have to go to my website, which is www.jchandy.net, and they can order up a copy off my website.
jchandy.net.
Yep.
And the book is Coffins of Tin. Trust me, I've read it. It's touching. JC, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for honoring these wonderful people that we never even heard about.
Well, thank you for your service and give me an opportunity to bring awareness to these incredible individuals because they deserve all the recognition they can get.
Well said. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Truth is time to do some knee bends. Go about halfway down each time. Do about 50 of them. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
There's no doubt veterans sacrifice and service to this country. For decades now, troops have been sent around the globe to fight, putting their lives on the line, but with no clear U.S. interest to protect.
To honor that sacrifice, Concerned Veterans for America is working to end our nation's endless wars. As veterans ourselves, we know a better foreign policy can make our troops and our country safer.
Learn more about how you can help by visiting cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show the U.S. Naval Academy's football coach, Brian Newberry. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
Glad to be here. Appreciate you guys having me on.
And of course, joining us is our football co-host, Quentin Roberts. Welcome back to duty, brother.
Hi, always a pleasure. And Brian, it's a pleasure to have you on today. Looking forward to chatting with you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, Quentin, since you actually played Service Academy football, I did play at West Point, but it was intramurals. So, Quentin, why don't you start the interview?
All right. Well, Coach Newberry, really, it is a pleasure. I know that you're in your second year now, and first year you kind of got thrown in by fire. I think the first game was against Notre Dame. Baptism by fire. Welcome to the job, right? But, you know, you really, I think, acquitted yourself well going 4-4 in the AAC. American Athletic Conference, and overall 5-7, really a few close losses in there. And as you move into your second year, Coach, but before we even go into that, because this is your first time with Frontlines of Freedom, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about just what your coaching background has been and what philosophy you really want to see ingrained in Navy football?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't grow up, you know, son of a football coach or anything like that. You know, I was a football, basketball guy growing up. Obviously loved football. Wasn't sure, you know, first person on either side of my family to graduate from college. Really wasn't sure what I wanted to do when I graduated. And so not really knowing what I want to do, football was kind of the natural progression for me. And I ended up taking a year off after I graduated, trying to figure some things out, and found a graduate assistant job at Southern Arkansas University. Which was, you know, a great experience for me. And that's kind of when I fell in love with coaching and thought, hey, this is what I want to do. Really, you could say I kind of came up the hard way in the profession. I've coached Division II, Division III, FCS. I've cleaned locker rooms and toilets and cut grass and painted fields and really done a little bit of everything. And, you know, every job that I had, every responsibility I had along the way, in retrospect, I needed that at the time. I needed to go through it the hard way, and it's kind of made me who I am as a coach. But, you know, philosophically here, it's, you know, for me, it's about, this is a special place. Obviously, we've got special young men here and believe in the institution and the mission here. And we want to be at our best, you know, whatever that looks like, to maximize these guys and to help them be the best versions of themselves and put a product on the field that's the best version of who we can possibly be. And so, you know, our program is built on a foundation of elite effort, attitude, and toughness. You know, that's where it all starts for us. That has nothing to do with your talent, how fast you are, how strong you are, how big you are. It's a decision that you make every day. And our philosophy around here is to go 1-0, you know, every day, and to be process driven in everything that we do. Understand that, you know, the results and, you know, what happens is a byproduct of the way you do things on a daily basis. And so being elite and the way that we do things and being in the present moment and making the most of every opportunity that we have, whether it's in the film room or the weight room or the practice field. And, you know, obviously here at the Academy, we've got to be unique in what we do schematically. I think what you do schematically is important at the Naval Academy. And so we're unique and different, you know, in all three phases of the game. Want to be difficult to prepare for, want to be unique. I feel like that's an equalizer. Can be an equalizer for us, and so that's important. But, you know, what we do is important, but how we do it is everything. And obviously, it's important to me that we represent the Naval Academy and those that have served our country currently or have served our country, that we represent those folks well, and that they're proud of what they see on the field. And for us to be a scrappy tough football team that will fight you for 60 minutes and give you everything that we can.
Well, Coach, that sounds great, but I don't know, you know, that's a change because they told me I wasn't big enough to play at Navy back in the day. So
right?
If you say size doesn't matter anymore, I'm ready to sign up. But
just it matters. I just know, you know, we're not look the same as a lot of teams that we play, that's for sure.
I know. Hey, look, Coach, you see my glasses. Navy saw my eyes and said, no, not only don't we want you near planes, we don't want you near our ships. So you need to go to Air Force. That's what I did. But look, that's and it really leads me into what you just mentioned about being unique. On offense, you're moving into a new kind of offensive philosophy. You have a new offensive coordinator. What can we expect to see that's a little different this year than last year?
Yeah, well, I don't want to give too much away too early.
Understood.
But it's out there. I mean, you know, we're hired Drew Kronick back in January, outstanding coach, you know, the Wing T background are his roots. And so, you know, you call it whatever you want. It's Navy's offense. You know, it's hard to put a label on it. You call it Sling T, the Millennial Wing T, you know, whatever you want to do. We're going to be doing some things that you see Wing T teams do. We're still going to carry some of the triple option element, you know, under center and in the gun. You know, the thing I love about what we're doing is, you know, our pass game off of the things that we're doing is really, really good. You know, and I think in the past, when we've not been able to run the football or people doing things that take certain things away from us, don't feel like we always had great answers. I think, you know, what Drew's doing, and we've got answers for just about everything. But, you know, you look at his track record, he's had success everywhere he's been and hasn't done the same thing offensively where he's been. He's shown the ability to adapt to the place and the players and whatever needs to be done to help his teams be successful as a head coach and as a play caller. But just has been really outstanding, a great leader, you know, having a guy on your staff that has been a successful head coach, a great resource for me, but his leadership and, you know, the buy-in from our players right now is tremendous. And I really love what we're doing schematically. I think it gives us and our players a chance to be successful. It's what we need to be doing here at Navy.
Now, Coach, have you named a QB yet? I know Braxton Woodson and Blake Horvath have kind of been the front runners for that trigger man position at the quarterback position.
Yeah.
Have you named who's going to be the starter for you yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's to me, it's still a battle. We're still working through that. I think you could say it's 1A and 1B right now, but I think they're both guys that have improved dramatically, you know, from where we were at a year ago and have improved during camp this fall. And I think they're both guys that we can win with, you know, both really talented players, and I feel like they both have a really nice grasp and the comfort level of what we're doing offensively right now. But we're going to need them both, Quentin, to help us win. And I think they both can. So excited about those two guys.
Well, Coach, I know your defense. You're a defensive coordinator, former defensive coordinator. What can we expect from the defense this year? And then overall this year, in terms of summing up the season, you know, if you'd like to just give us some parting comments.
Yeah, so defensively, it's, you know, P.J. Volker's our defense coordinator. P.J. and I have been together for a long time, and going back to my Kennesaw State days. And so, you know, what we do is a system in place. We've got great continuity on the defense side of football, staff there, and a lot of players that are back that have played a lot of snaps. So really, really excited about, you know, where we're at defensively, what we've got coming back. And P.J.'s done a phenomenal job. We've added a few wrinkles, you know, as we do every year. But couldn't be more pleased with the job he's doing and really couldn't be more excited about that unit.
All right. Well, Coach, look, we're looking for an exciting season from you this year, building on what you've established last year, and wish all the best to you and the team.
Sure. Thanks, Quentin.
And thank you, Quentin. You're a great member of my team. Coming up next on Front Lines of Freedom, Diane Raver will present the movie of the month and we'll open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thought to buying gold and silver. Keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. UniversalCoin.com/Denny. That's UniversalCoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice. Then take a break and stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen. From the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. for the servicemen and women of this great country. We are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And, of course, it's time for the movie of the month. So, of course, we're joined by our great team member, Diane Raver, of the Garden State Film Festival. Welcome, Diane.
Oh, Denny, it's always an honor and a pleasure, as you know. And to present these films to your audience is just such a joy. I hope everyone enjoyed this month's film.
Anybody who didn't enjoy this one is, well, of course, we're all a little peculiar, aren't we? Okay, the movie of the month is Alternative Math. It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I don't watch many movies twice, but I did this one.
Yeah.
And was there anything special about it that, got your attention?
I think what drew me to it was, one, there's a social comment on the media, social comment on being politically correct, social comment on all those things that are going on around us that to us mere mortals just seems interesting. And how this one played out was just beautiful, I thought.
Oh, whoever did this one, they get a salute from me, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a few comments. One, it's all about absolutes. There can't be absolutes. There have to be options for everything. This is stupid. Interesting comments.
Yes.
On the other hand, there aren't options. If you decide you're going to hit me in the face, there's only one response you're going to get. It's me hitting you back. So I guess there are some times where there don't have to be options. Anyway, the boy was upset because he failed a test. Then she held up two pencils and then two more. And he said there were 22 pencils there. That's stupid. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4. On the other hand, she was trying to be nice, and he was apparently haughty as heck.
Well, there's a social commentary on the new way of parenting. You know, we being raised in the 50s, it was, you know, your parents' way, the teacher's way, and the highway, you know. But, you know, this new helicopter way of parenting children is really not to their best interest, in my opinion. But
no, you're liable to end up with kids you aren't proud of.
Exactly.
Fortunately, you and I followed the old-fashioned way.
Yes.
Okay. The parents came in and didn't know that 2 + 2 = 4. That's just one option.
Yeah, well,
listen to the rest of this. If a doctor said he was going to operate on your eyes, but he wasn't going to use the old-fashioned way to do it, he had his own idea of doing it another way, what would you say?
Yeah, that's a good comment.
Yeah, I sort of like that, which I guess they were just standing up for their kid and didn't honestly think that there was options.
But believe it or not, I see this in my own community where, you know, they change all the rules to benefit their own child rather than realizing that, you know, society doesn't work that way. So the kid's in for a huge shock later in life, you know.
There's an understatement. Mother called the teacher a name. Then she says, I'll have your job. The reply was, not if you can't add 2 + 2. I thought that was a clue.
Yeah.
And then mother slapped her. I wonder if someone thought about calling the cops for that.
Well, there is that.
But I'm not sure for a slap in the face. That, on the other hand, it is an assault. But goodness gracious. So the modern parenting or whatever, principal tells her it's not her job to tell students if they're right or wrong. So what is her job?
Well, again, this speaks to the, you know, and talk about our education system. I mean, certainly, you know, the new math, the old math, the phonics, the reading, the, you know, not teaching cursive handwriting. I mean, somewhere along the line, logic has to prevail. You know, it's an interesting world we live in.
Yeah, I am sort of glad I'm not running a business right now where I have to be hiring people that were educated that way.
Right.
Okay, so the school board opposes her, and the superintendent says she's suspended while she reconsiders her extremist views. Okay. If I hold up two pencils and then two more pencils, it's extremist to say that there are four pencils there. Anyway,
this was a good social commentary. I really did. I mean, it's presented in a funny way, but, you know, look around. This is real food for thought, which was the mission of this film club anyway. So,
well, and it clearly did. Anybody who sees it who was tending to go that way might rethink it.
Right.
Then she's fired before the media. And he gives her two paychecks for 2 months, each $2,000. So she gets $4,000, but she says no. She's to get $2,000 and $2,000. That's $22,000.
Yep.
Oops.
Yep.
And it all ends.
Yep.
And I wonder if she got $22,000.
Well, fortunately, this is a fiction film, so you know.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the movie of the month with Diane Raver from the Garden State Film Festival. Now, I got a few comments like this. We have too many school teachers today who teach nonsense like critical race theory and allowing kids to make sex changes without talking to their parents. In some ways, this is a very, very accurate report. That's a sort of a summary of some comments we got.
Yeah. Again, I think this, I would venture to say that this started a lot of conversations, this little film, you know?
Yeah, it either produced a lot of laughter for folks that are a tad more mature, like we are. That's what we're calling ourselves, right? Mature, not old.
Yeah.
and hopefully some conversation for those a tad younger than us, particularly if they had any inclination or knew people that were going through this kind of thing. This is a funny and a real challenge. Well, our whole idea was to not tell people what to think, but to give them ideas and something to think about.
Right. Start a conversation. That's
this one sure did.
Yeah.
It sure did.
Well, I'm so glad you all enjoyed it. And thank you so much for letting me share a little bit of my passion with you.
Well, we're stuck with each other. Diane, thank you. Thank you for another great film and for being such a great member of the Frontlines of Freedom team. I'm so glad we worked together.
Me too, Denny. Thank you and your listeners very much. It's an honor and a privilege.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Do some more push-ups. I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
Question for you. Have you ever wondered what you do if you are forced to defend yourself or your family? It's not fun to think about, but the truth is these situations can happen to anyone, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to likely being one of the worst days of your life, if you don't have self-defense coverage, you could be left with a mountain of legal bills. Join U.S. Law Shield today and receive immediate coverage, affordable, customizable membership options, and peace of mind.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a really great place to go to purchase silver and gold like I do. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com/Denny. Check them out, universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I really welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Well, Colonel, Suzanne, a lady with Ukrainian relatives, is amazed and delighted with the way Ukraine is attacking Russia. Can they keep this up?
Suzanne, yes, they can. And I'm sure this is encouraging all the nations who support them. Go Ukraine.
And Air Force vet Phil noted that there's some shooting and attacks at our military bases. What's going on?
Phil, I'm not sure, but we have brought thousands of terrorists into our nation, including guys from Iran and Lebanon and places like that. And the culture our schools promote isn't pro-American in many cases. We have a problem. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 26 August 1804, following the death of Sergeant Charles Floyd, Lewis and Clark promoted Patrick Gass as his replacement. Barely 3 months into their journey, Lewis and Clark lost the only man to die on the journey. Sergeant Charles Floyd died from a disease diagnosed as bilious colic. After burying Floyd, the expedition moved on toward the Pacific Ocean. 2 days later, the captains held an election among the men to determine Floyd's replacement. Private Patrick Gass received a majority of the votes. A native of Pennsylvania, Gass had joined the Army in 1799 at the age of 28. He was a reliable soldier and soon won promotion to sergeant. When a call for volunteers to join Lewis and Clark's journey to the Pacific was released, Gass jumped at the chance. He joined the Corps of Discovery as a private. Gass proved himself a capable man in the first weeks of the mission. On this day, Lewis issued an order promoting Gass to the rank of sergeant in the Corps of Volunteers for Northwestern Discovery. Gass proved more than equal to the task. He served faithfully during the long journey to the Pacific and kept a careful journal throughout the journey, an important historical contribution. After they returned, Lewis and Clark released Gass from duty. Gass settled in West Virginia, where he prepared for the publication of his journal. Appearing 7 years before the official narrative of the journey was published, a journal of the voyages and travels of a Corps of Discovery was a well-crafted account of the journey that continues to be useful to historians. Having already completed the adventure of a lifetime, Gass served again in the Army, lost an eye during the War of 1812, married at the age of 58, and fathered 7 children. He lived until 1870, dying only a few months short of his 100th birthday. Wow.
What a man. On the 26th of August, 1865, our Civil War ended. Our Navy strength was over 58,500 men and 600 ships.
And on 27 August 1901 in Havana, Cuba, Army physician James Carroll allowed an infected mosquito to feed on him in an attempt to isolate the means of transmission of yellow fever. Days later, Carroll developed a severe case of yellow fever, helping his colleague, Army Doc Walter Reed, prove that mosquitoes can transmit the sometimes deadly disease.
And on 29 August 1916, Congress provided for the first time the mobilization of the Lighthouse Service in time of war by authorizing the president, quote, whenever in his judgment a sufficient national emergency exists, to transfer to the service and jurisdiction of the Navy Department or the War Department such vessels, equipment, stations, and personnel of the Lighthouse Service as he may deem to be in the best interest of the country, end quote.
And on 28 August 1941, during World War II, over 23,000 Hungarian Jews were murdered by the Gestapo in occupied Ukraine.
And on the 27th of June, 1945, Allied fleets anchored in Tokyo Bay within sight of Mount Fujiyama for the surrender of Japan. Admiral Halsey, commander of the U.S. Third Fleet, was present for what was probably the greatest display of naval might in history. The Armada included 23 aircraft carriers, 12 battleships, 26 cruisers, 116 destroyers and escorts, 12 submarines, and 185 other vessels. In addition to the American and British ships, there were ships from Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and the Netherlands.
And on 30 August 1945, General Douglas MacArthur landed in Japan to oversee the formal surrender ceremony and to organize the post-war Japanese government.
And on the 28th of August 1968, at the Democratic National Convention in Chicago, tens of thousands of protesters against the Vietnam War battled police in the streets while the Democratic Party tore itself to shreds concerning a platform statement on Vietnam. In one day and night, the Cold War consensus that had dominated American thinking since the late 1940s was shattered.
And on 26 August 1998, UN Weapons Inspector Scott Ritter resigned, saying the Security Council and the U.S. have failed to take a tougher standard against Iraq. Iraq was not cooperating with weapons inspectors as required by their surrender.
No surprise there. And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation and you can find yourself in the legal system. It's just the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people through events who never thought that this would happen to them. With their Legal Defense for Self-Defense program, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To begin your membership today, go to uslawshield.com or call 877-448-6839. Use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for the Self-Defense Report. Take us there, bro.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now, more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a Florida couple celebrated date night at a casino in Hollywood and won $3,000, but they didn't notice the three men watching them who followed them home and then attacked them in their own driveway. The man was shot three times in the leg while the woman was shot once in the ankle. The entire incident was caught on a video doorbell. Two of the three suspects were caught and charged with armed robbery and attempted murder. The third robber remains at large. The male homeowner faces a six-month-long recovery from his injuries.
Thanks, Colonel. This entire criminal incident could have been avoided by simply employing a self-defense technique we call situational awareness. The victims were at the casino being watched for over 2 hours, but failed to notice they were being surveilled, and then failed to notice they were being followed home. Why do people fail to follow one of the primary tenets of personal defense? Well, I think the answer is in a story. I was teaching a class several years back and was talking about the need to pay attention to your surroundings and to watch for criminals. As I was talking, a man raised his hand and told me, "I'm not going to do that." I asked him why not, and he replied, "Because you're paranoid. If I spend my life looking for danger all the time, then it'll rob me of my happiness, and I'm just not willing to do that." I explained to him that I do it all the time and that I'm quite happy. Paying attention to the people around me doesn't affect my emotions. It's totally non-emotional and something I do simply as a matter of habit. When I walk into a room, I scan around looking for anything that feels or looks out of place. Almost always, there are no concerns. But when I do see something out of place, then I watch to get more information. Situational awareness doesn't make me afraid. It makes me less afraid. Unfortunately for this Florida couple, they didn't pay attention to their surroundings and they paid the price for their lack of vigilance. If you're one of those people who refuse to notice danger around you and you haven't been hurt yet, then consider yourself lucky. This Florida couple were lucky enough to win $3,000, but that's where their luck ran out. The man who was shot three times says he can no longer sleep at night and feels unsafe everywhere he goes. Frontlines of Freedom wishes this couple a speedy recovery, and we're sure they've learned a valuable lesson about self-defense. We encourage our listeners to learn from the mistakes of others so they don't have to go through the trauma and pain inflicted by violent criminals. Please, folks, pay attention. Stay alert. It's not paranoid. It's awareanoid.
Well said, Skip. Our movie of the month is Alternative Math. We just reviewed it. You can still go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Todd Bensman will discuss our open southern border. Elaine Donnelly from the Center for Military Readiness will discuss drafting women. Then we'll meet the Air Force Academy's football coach and discuss his coming season. And then Quentin Roberts and I will discuss the Service Academy's upcoming football seasons and where we see them going. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has a mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.